anyone who is grieving would like to come and have a quieter space, that'll be a quieter service, and we invite you to that. That'll be at 7 o'clock on Friday in the chapel. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Bethany. And lastly, we have our music director, Gabrielle Cook McElvenna, with several announcements this morning as well.
My first announcement is, it is my pleasure to invite all of you to don your ugly Christmas sweaters and all things tacky Christmas, and join us on Saturday at 1 o'clock right out here in the front of the church building as we go caroling at the Santa House. This is a joint ministry mission project. We have another group from the church who is serving hot cocoa at 1:30 at the Santa House for the guests who come to visit Santa. And we would like to add to their ministry by providing some Christmas caroling. So please come. It's a fun event. It's fun to do with your family. It's fun to rope in a friend and go do something interesting on a Saturday. So please consider. We'll meet at 1 o'clock on Saturday at the front doors here. My next announcement, I'm going to ask Jaden to come up. Jaden is our base choral scholar, and as many of you know, we have started a choral scholar program here at Midland First. We have 4 choral scholar positions, one for each of the vocal parts. And every now and then, we have to say goodbye. So on behalf of the church, Jaden, here is a little gift from the choir. Jaden has been a faithful volunteer and leader in our choir. He has been leading the bass section. He has also been learning how to play the organ. So he's been fantastic at being able to pick up very quickly on organ techniques and take those to where he goes next. So Jaden, we support you in your adventure as you go and explore what life has to offer. Jaden is going to be starting, as you'll see in your bulletin insert, he's going to be starting a new career adventure. So we are wishing him well as he does so. So after church, we're going to be having cake to celebrate his music ministry here. And we are looking forward to seeing which choral scholars we get in the new year. So thank you so much for supporting this program.
I certainly appreciate Jaden's ministry among us and time with us. You all have had different seasons in your life where God has worked in your way and ending one season and beginning the next. And it's always wonderful to start with the encouragement of others. And so I hope that you will take the opportunity to greet Jaden afterwards in the parlor. We'll have cake and that time together. Invite you to that space. With all that, I'm going to get you up and out of your cozy pews, greeting one another, and then we'll call one another back with a bell and ask you to remain standing for the Advent wreath lighting.
You're last. Yep, you're good.
In the midst of our waiting and longing for God to make the world right again, we cling to the truth that God has saved, God is saving, and God will save. So today, we join our voices with the prophet Isaiah, who calls us to live in the joy of the truth of God's salvation. We choose to believe that the day is coming when the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, singing, everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
We light the candle of joy as a sign of the truth
that sets us free to live in joy as we wait and work for the day when all creations will flourish together.
Grateful to have some of our youngest among us bring the light of Christ into our service. I invite you to stand as you are able and to join us in our opening hymn, Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates. You'll find this on page 213 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you.
All right, let's go forward. Who wants to help me carry something up?
Me.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right. Okay, I have lots of helpers today. I'm good, but thank you very much for all your assistance and helps today. Oh, I know. What do we got in there? I wonder what that is. So today we're going to talk about a number of things in Sunday school. I'm glad you're all here, and it's so chilly outside. So everybody want a candy cane?
Yeah.
What do you think the candy cane signifies?
A shepherd.
Oh, you guys are so smart. Wow. You guys have been learning a lot in Sunday school, haven't you? Yes, but right now we're going to use it. Yeah. So we're going to talk about how the cane signifies, right? Yep. The different colors signify. Did everybody get one? Okay. Okay. So that's one of the things we're going to do in Sunday school we're going to talk about. We're also going to go over, thank you very much for Meredith and for Isabel and for Adeline for lighting in their family, lighting the candle today. And that was, what candle was that?
Joy.
We already did that today. It was joy. Good job. Yeah, you're right. We did hope and we did, what was last week? Okay, good job, guys. Let's go. Okay, we got another job to do today. We have a couple characters that need to go on to our manger scene. Okay. And what did the shepherd, what was the purpose of the shepherd? Does anybody remember? Let's walk. Oh, that's true. Let's walk up, but we got to be careful when we walk up. Let's walk around and beware of the tree, okay? Well, not right now. Later in class we can. We're going to do an activity with them. Well, you can eat them after the activity. Oh no! I've got another candy cane for you too. So if you break that one, I've got an extra one to take home. Okay, so we have two characters to put up on the mantle today, right? Ooh, who is this?
The shepherd.
Okay, let's put the shepherd. Where should we put the shepherd, do you think? Right there, that's perfect. And who else do we have? She's very fragile, they are. Who's that?
Angel.
Oh, and the angel came to a number of the people in the manger scene, right? But today we're going to talk about how she appeared to the shepherds. Perfect. Okay. Are you guys ready for a quick prayer so we can head off to Sunday school? I'm so excited you're all here today. Okay. Ready? Let's pray. Dear God, we have an extra for you, honey. Dear God, fill my heart with joy. Even when life feels hard or it is busy, remind me what the joy brings in my life. And when Christmas comes, help me to come to your manger with a heart full of thanks and joy. Amen. Let's go to Sunday school, guys.
To serve within the temple walls.
And now we come to a time of offering. If you would, as the ushers come forward, please sign the red friendship pads. We love to know who's here. We love to get to know our neighbors. And so if you would sign the red friendship pads and pass them down the pew, we would invite you to do that. And then we invite you to reflect on the ways that the Lord has blessed you this week. Will the ushers please come forward? Indeed, God, we do give you praise for who you are, all that you've done and are doing and will do, and all that you have given to us. We know that all we have to give in any capacity is all that we have already been given. And so, Lord, we pray that you would use these. Would further your kingdom in all the ways that you see fit. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
According to a survey of 1,010 evangelicals that was referenced in a 2024 Assemblies of God publication, 19% of evangelicals said that a church leader, other than a pastor, was either the single biggest reason or played a significant role in their coming to faith. Word of encouragement for parents, when naming those who influenced their decision in becoming a Christian, a total of 51% said that one or both parents played a significant role in their decision. And so when our service during the announcement approached a roar of a small engine plane, or when our children's time is on the cusp of chaos, I am excited. I am excited because I imagine what God is doing in the lives of our children, and I'm excited about what God might be doing in the life of our church, knowing this number. If you're a grandparent, or a cousin or an aunt or uncle, you might take heart in that 32% report that another family member other than a parent influenced their decision in coming to faith. One final set of numbers for you. 96% of evangelicals point to multiple influences in their decision for Christ, with an average identifying 3.4 different factors. Significant others, 14%. Friends, 22%. A Christian books, 8%. Events, 14%. Radio or television programs, 4%. As having a significant influence in their coming to faith. And so what do all of these numbers have in common? Whether the significant influences or parents or families or that of church leaders. What's the one common denominator here? In each of these instances, when people come to faith, a person was involved in sharing the light of Christ with someone or in bearing witness to the light of the world to someone else. A person was involved. Our takeaway from all this is simple. Faith is transmitted person to person, just as God has done throughout the ages. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Here on the third Sunday of Advent, we pick up where we left off last Sunday, with the third chapter of Will Willimon's study, Heaven and Earth. In this Advent study, Willimon invites us to consider the convergence, the coming together of heaven and earth, and the coming of Christ, and how God uses Christ's coming, whether it is in his birth or whether it is in Christ's return, to shake things up and to make possible a fresh new start in our lives and in God's creation. So today we turn to the passage that Pastor Bethany just read from John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. In this author's words, John's gospel takes a different tack from any other gospels, waxing philosophical about how the Word became flesh. Indeed, unlike the gospels of Matthew and Luke in telling of Jesus' birth, John's gospel makes no mention of all of Mary or Joseph, or of the shepherds and angels that we are accustomed to in John's gospel, no less the visit of the wise men in Matthew's. Instead, John points to the Word, that in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, the Word being Jesus. And with Jesus also as a light, yes, the light shines in the darkness, and darkness can never extinguish it. It's after John waxes philosophical in Willimon's terms, or after speaking of Jesus in these cosmic terms, that we hear there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John. Where in Matthew and Mark's Gospels are explicit in identifying John as John the Baptist, John's description is more sparse. In John's Gospel, John the Baptist is simply John, a man sent from God. It's as if the disciple John, in telling of Jesus coming into this world, wanted all eyes fixed on him, all eyes fixed on Jesus. Missing from John's gospel are all the details that we heard about in Luke's gospel, about John's location or his clothing or his daily habits. Instead, John is there in the gospel sent by God, as a witness, giving testimony to the light, so that all might believe through him. John's gospel is clear. Make no mistake about it, John was not the light. John came, the baptizer came, to testify to the light. My son, who's in upper elementary now, is just now getting to dabble in online gaming. His mother and I are just now permitting him to do so. And one aspect of all this that I appreciate is how playing online gives Andrew the opportunity to connect with friends, even friends from places that we have lived before. And so recently, he's been playing video games with a friend from the third grade. His friend's name is Asa. And from time to time, when they're playing together and communicating with one another in real time through these headsets and through these microphones, it's pretty amazing. I'll say, "Hey, Andrew, tell Asa I said hello." And he'll say, "Hey, Asa, my dad says hello." And then I'll hear Andrew say back to me, "Hey, Dad, Asa said, hi, Andrew's dad." Andrew's dad? Not Mr. Africa? or Mr. Jeremy. Definitely not Pastor Jeremy. It's Andrew's dad. And with this, I know who is second fiddle, right? And in John's gospel, both John, the author of this gospel, John, the disciple of Jesus, and John, the man that God sent, they both know who is second fiddle. And in the same way, when it comes to sharing the light of Christ, when we bear testimony to the light that we know, it's not about us, is it? It's not about me. It's not about you. But it's about the light that we talk about, the light that we bear, the light that we've seen. Listen to what Willimon points out about John's role as a witness to the light of Christ. He writes, quote, "John is not so much an official spokesperson, but rather a witness. In court, a witness testifies to what the witness has seen and heard. Nobody expects the witness to be creative or original. With a witness, the personality, educational background, or the actions of the witness are unimportant to the court. What matters is the vocal testimony of the witness. The witness points away from herself towards an event that had occurred outside of the witness." End quote. In John chapter 1, verses 19 through 28, John the baptizer is very clear about who he's not, about what his role is, and what he is and is not worthy of doing. John says, "I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Elijah, nor am I the prophet that you are expecting." Instead, John bears testimony to those sent to figure out who he is by saying, "I am a voice. Just a voice calling out into the wilderness. Clear the way for the Lord's coming." Willimon emphasizes here that today we too are a voice. Whether you're a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, a neighbor, a friend, a co-worker, a stranger, someone else meets on the street, we are a voice. This retired United Methodist bishop observes, "Christians are not necessarily those who are more truthful than others or more spiritually enlightened. Certainly, we are not better people than others. We are simply those who have heard some surprising news from the voice of someone sent from God who tells us what God has done, is doing, and will do among us. Then, we tell everybody else about it." That's who we are. And that's what we're called to do. Now, I get it. I get it. At least that's what I'm imagining in my mind. That you might be thinking as we speak this morning, because truly a sermon is a conversation, yes? I am saying things, and you're saying things back to me, just in right now. Don't have the opportunity to speak back. But I imagine that you might be thinking now, that's not my job, right? That's not my job. You might be saying to me, you're the paid professional. You're the one who's standing in the pulpit. That's not my job. That's not my place. To bear this light, to speak about the good news I know, to which I'll respond with two names. Two names for my life. Catherine Huron and Mary Margaret Hutchings, or Miss Huron and Miss Hutchings, as I called them growing up. Like many who have come to believe, I can name several who have been instrumental in my life in accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and who have been influential in my faith. Certainly my parents, certainly my wife, certainly my high school and college Sunday school teacher, John, and right up there amongst the most influential are Miss Huron and Miss Hutchings. If you follow sports, you might know this concept of Mount Rushmores, right? Who are the GOATs, right? Who you would put on your Mount Rushmore of greatest quarterbacks. Tom Brady's there, just so you know. Or your Mount Rushmore of greatest pitchers, greatest golfers, et cetera. Well, if I had a Mount Rushmore of faith, Miss Huron and Miss Hutchings would be included. Catherine and Mary Margaret taught in Trenton. And by the time I knew them, they were a retired elementary school teacher and high school teacher. And to my knowledge, neither one studied religion in college, nor did they ever attend seminary, or certainly did not obtain a degree from one. Instead, growing up at Metropolitan United Methodist Church on Woodward Avenue in Detroit, Miss Huron and Miss Hutchings greeted me the same way every Sunday morning. From growing up there as an infant through my graduation from college. And Miss Huron would greet me by calling me Jerry. She was a limited number of people who got away with that without protest from me after middle school. And so she would greet me, Jerry, every Sunday morning and ask me how I was doing. What was new? What's happening? How's the week been? And Miss Hutchings, always by her side, listening intently with the gentlest of smiles. And through this weekly ritual, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, as an elementary school age student, to middle school, to high school, and then through college, I learned. I learned about myself. I learned that I mattered. I learned that I had a place in the church. And somehow, some way, I learned about God. I learned about Jesus. I learned about the church and more. And they bore testimony to the light that they had not only known, but had also seen themselves. And so, friends, do you know the light? Have you seen the light? This light that shines in the darkness, and there is No darkness deep enough in this world that can compel it to extinguish itself. Have you seen that light? Do you know that light? And who in your life or whose path might you cross with whom God is giving you the opportunity to bear witness or to give a testimony to the hope that you know, to this love that you know, to this peace that you know? So this week, I'm going to encourage you to consider who might you invite to one of our Christmas Eve services this year? Who needs to encounter the light on Christmas Eve? Is it a coworker, a neighbor, a friend? Please invite them. I promise you, the light will be here on Christmas Eve to share. Or who's somebody you need to reach out to with whom you haven't spoken for years? And you know you need to have a conversation. How might you bring the light back into that conversation and into that relationship? Or what act of kindness might you place in God's hand to do the miraculous? I hope, I trust, that the saints who have gone before us can see us and hear us, perhaps. Because I never told Miss Hutchings and Miss Huron all that they did in my life. And so what small act of kindness might you do to put in God's hand to do the miraculous? May it be so as heaven and earth converge again this Advent and Christmas season. Amen. Amen. Let us go to God together in prayer. God, we thank you on this third Sunday of Advent for how this season wakens our hearts up, our spirit and our mind. How in Christmas and in how your return, there is the coming together of heaven and earth all over again. We thank you that we have seen the light. We thank you that in Jesus, we are reminded of how the Word and the light came to dwell among us. And even on this Sunday, we are reminded of those who have bore that light for us. God, some of those individuals are still among us and seated in these pews. And we give you thanks for working in their life that they might bear your light. Others are situated in other areas and other arenas of our life. A grandparent, a parent, a cousin, a sibling, an aunt or uncle, who has been that voice crying out into our wilderness. And we give you thanks. For that light has shone in our life, even in the toughest of times, in the darkest of moments. And we thank you for all that light has brought to us. And Lord, even on this third Sunday of Advent, as we consider the light that has come into the world, your Holy Spirit is stirring amongst some of us, putting a name, putting a face, perhaps later this week, putting a moment before us. Give us that wisdom. Give us that courage to bring your light to bear in their life. And do what you will. Because we know this light and wish to share it all over again this Advent season. May your light shine upon us. May your light shine upon the church, our community, and your creation. We pray this in the one who bore that light, praying the prayer he has taught us, praying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." I invite you to stand as you are able and to join us in our closing hymn, "I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light." You'll find this on page 206 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you. So what's that opportunity to bear the light that you might come across this week? You know, for some of us, bearing that light is going to be as simple as going to the dollar store or going to Meijer and picking up items that you can set in the grocery cart here by the reception area at the church that eventually land in the blessing box out by the parking lot. Because, friends, if you go to the Ask Midland page on Facebook, you'll see that this blessing box is a beacon of light for many of our neighbors. And maybe that's how you are to bear your light. But perhaps for some of us, there's been this tug on our head and heart this morning. Somebody you need to have a conversation with. A moment of grace that you have to extend. Please act on that tug. Don't squash that light. Let that light shine. Amen? Amen.